You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Could you talk a bit about the new Board of Peace and what it is?
What is being called the Board of Peace, which really should be called the Board of Billionaires or the Board of War, is the second phase of what is supposed to be the US-led Gaza peace plan. The first phase is actually supposed to be the ceasefire, but what we can see on the ground is that that's actually not going so well because Israel continues to strike both in Gaza and also in the West Bank as well. This morning I was watching a video of Ail al-Atbash, mother, sister, and his three young nieces were killed by an Israeli airstrike in their home at 4 a.m. while they were sleeping. There is certainly first phase of that plan is not going well. People are still dying and the reality on the ground is horrific and there is a lot of rebuilding to do. Now, the Board of Peace that's been proposed makes no mention of Gaza whatsoever. It positions Trump as this all-powerful chairman who alone can select members, set agendas, issue resolutions and terminate participation at will. But countries seeking permanent membership must pay $1 billion. So this is really a pay-to-play imperial colonialist project that we're seeing unfold. And what is really insidious and revealing about this is that there are no Palestinians represented on this board. What we need is we need it to be any kind of path to peace must come through justice. It must come through our well-established rules-based order and international institutions like the United Nations and the International Court of Justice, and it must be Palestinian-led.
Now, what does the creation of the Board of Peace mean for the traditional international bodies like the UN?
It's basically designed to sideline the United Nations, which puts Trump and the US in this kind of almighty powerful position. It is putting profit over people. It has a huge section of it which lays out real estate plans for Gaza. And, you know, one of the things that the United States has said is that the Board of Peace is an organization that is created to work in line with the United Nations, but can work faster than the United Nations does because of bureaucracy. But really, the reason that the United Nations has not been able to do anything is because six times the United States has vetoed any resolution to call for ceasefire in Gaza, for example. So the only reason that the UN really has been failing is because of the veto powers, and namely the United States. So it's sidelining it, and what New Zealand needs to do really is to hold firm to our position with foreign policy and a part of these institutions and uphold our rules-based order.
Now, just on New Zealand, what do you make of New Zealand declining its invitation to join the board?
I'm not surprised that that New Zealand declined to join the Board of Peace, but it is the right decision. It's something that does concern me is that they won't accept the invitation in its current form. So that phrase is really concerning for us. They've also said that New Zealand's contribution to the board wouldn't add significant value, but I think that what significant value would look like is things like sanctioning Israel, is joining the ICJ case against Israel with South Africa. It's upholding human rights and our multilateral and international infrastructure.
So where do you think New Zealand stands on the issue despite declining the invitation?
I think they stand without a backbone. I think that they continue to underplay the impact that we can have. We are a part of the United Nations, we're a part of international organisations and it's a part of the international community. We have been on our high horse for a long time about standing up for human rights, for being in line with international law, and that's not holding up right now. We've seen in the past that we can have a worldwide impact, whether that's looking at the South African apartheid and the Springbok tour, whether that is nuclear-free New Zealand, whether it's women having the right to vote. We can be leaders in this, and even if in this case we're sheep, we can still have a moral compass.
And finally, is there anything in the way of policymaking that the government or future governments can do?
Yes, there is. There is much that future governments can do. In Aotearoa, we have the power to sanction Israel. We have the power to join South Africa in the International Court of Justice case against Israel. We can uphold and maintain our position in the United Nations and with human rights. And I would urge listeners as well that we have power here as well, and that is to reject Luxon and Peters and Seymour in their current form, and quite frankly, in any form, and to vote for a government with a backbone and a moral compass.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.